Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible tonight, I want you to open it up to an Old Testament scripture first, and that's Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk. We'll see when we get to heaven. We'll meet him in heaven, right? How do you say your name? You know, that's like in the, you know, we hear in Western, well, you know, in the United States, you know, we don't speak English. I've said that to you before. We speak American. And we call it the Book of Philemon. But if you're in Africa, certain places, it's Philemon. I hope that's what his name is. Philemon. I just like saying it that way. But it's better what's said in the book than how you pronounce his name. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, look at verse 4. Familiar verse, the last part of it. We want to talk about this tonight. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. How many of you know we can't make ourselves right with God or just with God in and of ourselves? Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's not bad news. That's good news. That puts us all in the same place. We all need the same Savior. And thank God we have a Savior, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. But he says here, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, in the New Testament, there's three places that this statement is made. But it only here does it say the just shall live by his faith. Not granny's faith. Right? Not your pastor's faith. But by your faith. We all have to come to God. And we all have the right. That's the great thing. We have the right and the privilege to have a personal relationship with God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, faith, and we're going to talk about some practicalities of faith tonight, but faith is not mysterious. You know, I think sometimes we think of the subject of faith, and that can become one of those Bible words, you know, that's just, ooh, you know. But, you know, faith is common to all of us. We all operate in faith in certain areas, right? Aren't you shocked when you turn the ignition in your car and it doesn't start, right? I mean, you put the key in there or whatever, you know, these today that got the touch ignition, keyless, you know, ignition, whatever. Still got to have the key. I don't know why they call it keyless. You still got to have it on you. Anyway, but that's another story. But you're shocked, right? When that doesn't, why? You have faith that it's going to start. Why? You have experience with that car. Or you have experience with that. How many of you had to pray before you sat on that seat tonight? No. You just sat down. Why? You had faith it would hold you up. Now some of you, you know, our first time guests, you've never been here before. You didn't know. You didn't know. We could have had a trick pew there. And you could have sat in that and just fall apart. No, we wouldn't do that to you. But you had faith. We operate in faith every day that we don't realize in natural things. But you know, how much more can we operate in faith to a God, with a God who's not just a God, he's our Father. And he loves us and he's good. He's a good God. And we live, he said, shall live by his faith. So let's look at Romans chapter 1. Faith comes out of a relationship with God. Well, brother, I thought faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, while you're spending time with God and he's talking to you, and while you're spending time with God through his word. Hasn't Pastor Hagin been doing a great job preaching about the word of God? Amen. His last several sermons he's preached. Amen. I told him not too long ago, I said, keep at it, you're going to make a preacher one day. He just looked at me. Amen. He's been a Christian longer than I am old, so you know, been preaching longer than I am old. So, praise the Lord for that. All right, Romans chapter 1. Let's look at this at verse number 16 and 17, and then I want to look at it in the Passion Translation also, because in verse 17 there's an interesting statement made in the Passion Translation that I want to go over. But Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Everybody say power of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now there's an aspect here of this in verse 17. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That implies that there's some type of growth or transition in our faith that needs to take place. And, you know, we talked about around here, the ministry, we've got several books out there on growing up spiritually and ever-increasing faith, you know, how our faith is a measure, but we can grow our faith, building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Jude 20 says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Our faith is something that can continually be growing. But I like the way this Passion brought this out. I'll read the entire verse 17 in the Passion. This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. Now, listen to this. He talks about the transition here. And moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. Amen. You know, a lot of, if we're not careful, and I want to be careful how I say this, because God does, you know, God does supply and God moves on our behalf. But if we're not careful, instead of becoming active Christians, we become consumer Christians. And we're still, by faith, receiving, which is great. Don't get me wrong. But there's a greater way to live, and that's to live by your faith. A constant living. A constant living. You know, I believe the Word of God tells us that we can live in health, not go from sickness to sickness and have to be healed and healed and healed. Amen? Praise the Lord. And be praying. I just saw, you know, report that former President Obama has been tested positive with COVID. Let's pray for him. Father, right now, his healing power working in him. Amen? Just pray that he will come out of this strong. Glory to God. Amen. You know, you don't ever want anybody to be sick with anything. But Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the compassion of the Lord. Amen. So he said, I like that, to the power of living by faith. He says, this is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. I look at Galatians chapter 3. The just, that's who are those who are declared right in Christ. If you're born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Him. I'm not standing here in my own right standing, but I have right standing. It's His. He imputed it to me. He gave it to me. There was a great exchange that took place at the cross and the resurrection. At the cross, Jesus took my sin nature. He took my sickness and disease. He took my poverty and lack. He took my separation from God. And when He rose again, He gave me right standing with Almighty God, which brings all that other back to me. Hallelujah. What an exchange. I didn't say it was fair. We got a good deal. You know, sometimes, you know, if you follow sports, they talk about these trades, you know. Who got the better end of the deal, you know? Who won this? And when they traded this player for that person, who got the best deal? I mean, for me as a St. Louis Cardinal fan, growing up in Central Illinois, where I was surrounded by Cardinal fans and Cubs, right in the area where it just washes over. So it's a big rivalry. Chicago Cubs baseball, St. Louis Cardinal baseball, big rivalry, you know. And used to joke, what's the difference between St. Louis and Chicago? Well, it's so many miles and 11 world championships. But now they've won one, so 10, okay? But and back in 1964, how many of you are alive in 1964? Where's my friends? There we go, praise the Lord. In 1964, the St. Louis Cardinals traded a pitcher by the name of Ernie Broglio, who they knew had a bad arm, to the Chicago Cubs for a young outfielder by the name of Lou Brock. And for hit, the history has proven that's probably one of the most lopsided trades ever been in baseball. Lou Brock went on to be a Hall of Fame player. Ernie Broglie only pitched a couple more years in the big leagues after that because his arm was gone. And they talk about that as trade. But I'm telling you, that trade, is as great as that was, that doesn't even compare to the trade that God made with us when he took who we were, his enemy, and made us his child. Adopted us. And see, it's one thing to adopt an orphan into your family. It's another thing to adopt your enemy into your family and give them rights and privileges as if they were first born, natural born in your family. Glory to God. That's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. And so you can see as I explore that relationship with God, how faith can just be and rise up. Galatians 3 verse 11 said that, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. I want you to notice that. It kind of does away with the idea of having moments of faith. We're talking about living by faith. Living by faith. Now, thank God, you know, I'm not saying that God doesn't do miracles for us. There's not one of us yet that's been perfect. And we need God to come in and move on our behalf and do miraculous things as only he can do. Glory to God. I'm not taking that away. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Call upon him, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That great word saved there means everything that Jesus has done through his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension to heaven and being seated at the right hand of God. Glory to God. However, as a child of God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, we've got, let's let ourselves think a little bit here and not think, your head. Now, when I think about some of these things, my mind goes on tilt too. If you never, had you ever used to play pinball machine, right? And you could tilt it. You know, you're trying to bump the ball and you bump it too hard, you're game over. All right? No, but sometimes my mind just shuts off. It cramps. It gets a cramp, a muscle cramp. Because it's more than I can ask or think. But then I keep going back to the Bible, it keeps saying it. So it must be true. Even if I don't understand it, it must be true. But I'm living here on earth. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't get attacked with sickness and disease while he lived, but he was never sick on the earth. Well, that was God. Who's inside you? Now, I didn't say you were the Messiah. I didn't say you were a member of the Godhead. Don't go in the ditch. Amen. But we got a well of water springing up on the inside of us unto everlasting life. And our needs as Christians are met by that. And I just reach down by faith and take hold of whatever it is I need on the inside because God is there. By his Spirit. You ever thought about that? The mighty Holy Ghost lives on the inside of the Christian. The mighty Holy Ghost. Not just some figment of our imagination. God, the Holy Ghost, is in us. Amen. Now look at Hebrews chapter 10, if you would please. So here now is the third time and fourth time in the Bible that we have this statement about the just living by faith. Not just having moments of faith or events of faith. Thank God for those when we need them. But we can live this way. Hebrews 10 verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, living by faith means I'm not going to draw back. Draw back. Now, we're not going to take testimonies tonight, but I'm sure all of us have had times in our life, in our Christian life, where we kind of drew back a little bit. How many of you know that's possible? And sometimes people draw way back. They go to live in the way they were before they were a Christian. Amen. And our job is to rescue, not execute. Right? I mean, if a soldier gets wounded, you run out there and grab him, right? Medic, medic. We need more medics in the body of Christ that will risk their life to go out and rescue their brother and sister. Amen. But he said, we're not of those that draw back. You know, so I know in looking at that, I started for a while making that a confession every day. I'm not of those who draw back. I'm not going to draw back. I'm going to live by faith. Keeping that in my remembrance. So then we just go on, you know. You know, realize that number 11 was added by the translators later so I could say turn to Hebrews 11. But it's still talking about the same subject. Now faith. Everybody say now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, why? And why now? One reason, because faith is always right now. Hope is future. Faith is now. It's always right now. Hope is future, but hope is great. You got to have hope before you have faith. Hope is something confidently expected to happen. Faith says it's mine right now. It reaches into hope and grabs it and says, that's mine. But notice it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Why? Because we're living by faith. We're living by faith. He goes on in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So here, even after the fact that we've been made the righteousness of God, in living a life of faith and living a life that's pleasing to God, we live it in faith. And when we come to God, we believe that he is, and we believe that he's a rewarder. He's a giver of them that diligently seek him. In other words, he's not God the great withholder. He's God Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who supplies all of our needs. He's a giver. He's good. And again, we're not just talking about, well, I'm just a consumer, but I'm in a living relationship with God. Now, this book of Hebrews then, chapter 11 especially then, is written and gives us some practical examples of people, even in the old covenant. See, the key word of the book of Hebrews is the word better. I almost preached on that tonight, but this kept growing on me, and so we were going this way. But better. We've got a better founder of the covenant. We got a better mediator of the covenant. We got better blood in this covenant. We got better high priest in this covenant. It's a better covenant. It's better. And we're not going to draw back and try to come the old. We're coming in the better. It's a better salvation. It speaks of better things, it says. So, but they live. These things are written for us to show us that living in relation is living by faith. The just shall live by faith. So let's look here at, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 23. Here is several verses that talk about Moses. And I want to see some things, introduce some practical things here that Moses did that we can all do. All right? Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's kind of interesting. They were not afraid of the, what was the king's commandment? Kill all the male children. All the male Hebrew children put to death. But his parents said, no, there's something about this child. We're not going to do that. We're not afraid of the king. You know, his mother went down and put him in that basket, floated it down the river. Think about that. That river had crocodiles in it. What if that basket tipped over? Amen. Plus, this baby is old enough. This child's old enough to have been weaned. I mean, he's not just some little. And of course, what happens? Pharaoh's daughter finds him. All right? But they were not afraid of the king's command. See, faith will make you fearless no matter what anybody in the world says. living by faith. Why? Because I'm in relationship with the author of faith. Hebrews 12 says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm in relationship with him. All right. So verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, now he's an adult. Notice this. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Refused. That's our first word. He refused. What does that mean? Called. He refused to make his identity the son of Pharaoh, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to identify with what he was not. He was being raised that way, but he'd come of age. He found out who he was. When you get born again, you've come of age. You found out who you are in Christ. And don't allow yourself to identify any longer with who you used to be. Right? Refuse. Refuse to be called. I'll never forget, back in the early 80s, I was at a church in eastern Ohio, close to Pennsylvania, but we were kind of out in this little Methodist church doing what we had lay witness missions. Weekends going in, we would do the youth services, but we'd be in with the adults during the singing and the testimony. And we were with this group, and I didn't know any of the people that we were there. I do remember a man from Detroit, Michigan, who'd gotten saved. This guy was a multimillionaire in Detroit. He was a contractor. His name was Fidel Cachero. Now, I'm going to say this. There's no telling what Fidel had done in his past. But Fidel was so happy to be saved. They'd have him stand up. And he did it. He did it Friday night, the first night. And they had him do it Sunday morning. And Fidel would get up there. And he'd just start crying. He was so happy for what God. That's all he did was cry. And people came to the altar to get saved. I've never seen anything like it in my life before or since. He was so happy. But one day during lunch, we were talking, and Fidel made a statement about this little lady, little lady that was in our group that we didn't know, but we'd met up with him. He said, this poor lady, she said, what was that word you used to describe me? He was just saying, he was just making, how people use, but she refused to be identified with the word poor. Amen. We've got to refuse to identify with whatever the world wants to call us, whatever label they want to put on us. I don't care. I'm going to identify with what the Word of God has to say. All right, verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We've got to make the right choices. Amen. Now, there's no, God doesn't cause us to suffer. But Paul said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I heard Brother Hagin say it more than once. If you're not being persecuted for your Christian life, you're not doing it right. I'm going to tell you this right now. You live by faith, and people are going to, they won't understand it. They don't understand it, but that's all right. Choose to be lumped with God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, we were just all out together, and everybody else was drinking, so I just had a small drink. See, you've chosen the pleasures of sin for a season over living by faith. Amen. Well, all different ways you could take that. But make good choices. Choosing. Refusing and choosing. All right, we're building a case here. These are practical things we can all do. Every one of us can choose and refuse. Amen. Yeah, and how many of somebody said it, but you have to do it every day. It's not, you're living by faith. All right, look at the next verse, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That word esteeming, really, it carries with the idea of you've added it all up, you've run the numbers, You've done the calculations and you found out that being reproached for being a Christian is far greater riches than having the world love you. Jesus said, look, if they hate you, it's because they hated me. Amen. Now I realize, you know, you don't just fall in. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to live by faith. And so I'm going to refuse. I'm refusing to be called. I'm choosing and I'm esteeming. I'm making this choice. The word is translated there. The main meaning of the word esteem is to lead. Do you know every time you make the right choice, every time you refuse to be lumped with the world, every time you esteem Christ greater than anything else in the world, you're leading others. Amen. Being an example. All right, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Here again, this is the second time they said they weren't afraid of the king. They weren't afraid of the king. Now, we haven't been there, but we're there now, to where the leaders of our government are making decisions that cause you to choose between obeying God or not. We haven't been there, but we're there in some instances. Okay? Well, now that doesn't mean we get ugly about it. But we do not live in fear. Okay? And we live by faith. And we esteem the riches of Christ far greater. So when it became illegal in Rome, the Roman Empire, to be a Christian, and to be a Christian was to be taken to the Colosseum and burned at the stake, fed to the lions, or fight the gladiators without any weapons, basically put to death, you don't deny your faith. Later on in Hebrews 11 says, there are those who did not accept deliverance that they might have a better resurrection. You know, sometimes living by faith means I'm going to stand against this no matter what happens to me. And if you kill me, you've done me a favor. I'm going to heaven. Amen. But Moses had to make that choice. And notice that what it says is, for he endured as seeing him as invisible. He endured. Faith, living by faith, means we have to endure whatever comes. Now, endure doesn't mean put up with, but I'm going to stand strong in the midst of everything. My faith, by faith. Enduring as seeing him. Why? Because we got a greater understanding. We're enduring till that end. All right. Look at verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, I heard this the other day, and I really haven't, but it just came up in me. I don't know why, because I really haven't had a chance to study it out. But somebody made the statement the other day that, did you notice that when the Passover happened and they put the blood on the doorpost, God protected everybody. He never went into the house and said, well, who's in here? Maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't deserve protection. If they were in the house and the doorposts were covered, they were protected. Oh, the mercy of God. Whew. He'll be good to people that shouldn't be. He should be good too, based on our estimation. Amen. Think about it. He's been good to you. I'll guarantee you there's people that think he shouldn't have been good to you. Right? I used to joke and tell people, you ought to be glad I'm not God, because I wouldn't heal you. I quit saying that though, although I just said it. But you know what I mean. All right? He kept something about living by faith that causes us to be a keeper of the word of God and the commands of God. And keeping ourselves, it's no mistake, it's no accident that he mentions the keeping ourselves washed by the blood and covered by the blood. And then I like verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to were drowned. When the Egyptians tried to go through that water, they were drowned. I had a religion teacher, Bible teacher, so-called, I'm going to say it this way, so-called Bible teacher at the liberal arts college I went to. We had mandatory Bible classes because that school originally was started in 1827 and 8 as a seminary to train ministers. It was one of the Harvard and Yale schools that went across the United States, and they're training ministers. As expansion took place, they're training preachers. And this was one of those schools. And this guy was, but he was teaching us how that basically everything in the Bible was just symbolic. And that the Red Sea wasn't really, you know, a great sea. It was just ankle deep. Now, I was just a newborn Christian, but I knew that wasn't right. And I wish I'd have thought of this later. I thought of this earlier, but I heard somebody say it later on after I was, you know, a few years as a Christian. You know, if that water was ankle deep, that's a greater miracle than it's the sea splitting, at, you know, these walls, big walls of water, because all the soldiers and horses of Pharaoh's chariots drown in ankle deep water. Either way, you got a miracle on your hands. So I had to pass through. Living by faith will cause us to pass through to victory. And will cause us. Now notice, they never lifted a hand against Pharaoh's army. They just passed through. When we live by faith, living according to the word of God, on a daily basis, we pass through lots of opportunities to get caught by the enemy. But we're just passing through. We're just passing through. In fact, you know, I think that we ought to have a passing through mentality anyway. This is not my home. This is not my home any longer. I'm just passing through. Heaven is my home. I belong there. I'm from heaven. You know, some places in the world, you ask somebody where they're from. They don't tell you where they're living right now. They tell you where their home people are. Right? I know that I'll be talking to a lot of the ministers there in East Africa there when I go to Kenya and talking to them. So where are you from? Well, they never ever tell me where they're living. I'm asking, where are you living? Where do you live now? But they'll tell me where they're from. And I say, oh, so you live there? No, I don't live there. Oh. How many of you realize you got to learn to ask the right questions sometimes? But it's ingrained in their culture that no matter where I go, I'm from there. That's a godly thing. No matter where I go, I'm a Christian. No matter where I go, heaven is my home. No matter where I go, I'm a child of God. Amen? That's why no matter where you go, you got brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all part of the same family. Oh, we might look different. We might talk a different language. We might have a lot of differences about us. That's all right. We're family because we got the same God. All right? So living by faith, refusing, choosing, esteeming, forsaking, enduring, keeping, and passing. There's a lot of things there, a lot of different things to look at as you look at that. And I encourage you to spend some time with that. Look up those words, what it means to refuse, what it means to choose and esteem. Look those things up. I'm going from the King James Bible. Other translations might have different words. That's all right. But look at that. All right, let me end with this. Every one of these things are a result of making an all-in decision. I'm going to live by faith. That's it. There's no plan B. I'm going to live by faith. So I'm all in. And when I go all in, then these decisions are natural decisions I make because I'm living by faith. Living by faith should be so natural to us as Christians that we do it like we sit in that chair not even thinking about it. It's just natural to us. We live by faith. And we're not going back, even like this. We're not going back. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Have I refused, chose, esteemed, forsaken, endured? No, 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 no. I'm just bringing this out to show you practical things we can do. Make sure we can check up. But I'm not talking about the faith that we live by is natural to us. We are the supernatural children of a supernatural God. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we can live by faith in a God who loves us so dearly and is so good to us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you have made available to us a life of faith, a life of living and trusting in you. As Pastor Craig points out all the time, a life that has no question, not questioning your word at any time. What you said is true, and we live by it. Unquestioning belief. So, Father, we thank you tonight. Father, I pray that if there be anybody here tonight, as we do here, if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know you, that they wouldn't leave here tonight without receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that is a Christian but maybe not be walking tight with you like they used to or like they want to, and they want to rededicate their life tonight, Father, I pray for them. If there's anybody here tonight, Father, that wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, just like in the Bible, I pray that they'd receive that tonight. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed as our prayer team comes. I do want to ask, is there anybody here by uplifted hand you'd say, I don't know Jesus, but I want to accept Jesus tonight. I want to become a Christian. I want to be adopted into God's family tonight. Or you'd say, I've been a Christian, but I just have walked away from some things and I want to rededicate my life tonight. Or you want to receive what we talked about, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just raise your hand so we'll know we want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray just like I said. Anybody at all? We always want to give an opportunity. Praise the Lord. Well, you know how we dismiss here. If you need prayer for anything other than what we talk, or even for that, if you didn't raise your hand, that's all right. Come on down, ladies, talk to the ladies. Men, talk to the men. And we just thank God. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. And as we like to say, you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Amen. We all clear, gentlemen? We got Wednesday night, right? Hey, remember now, students, we don't have class this week. Don't come to school. All right? Every year during spring break, we have people show up on Monday morning. I can't remember why, but yeah. Praise hallelujah. All right. But then we'll pick back up and with that. All right. God bless you. Take care of all. Read your announcements and look at that. We're glad you're here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.